This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A busy Tuesday at the General Assembly ended with proposals about religious freedom, taxes, and redistricting. First, House Speaker Tim Moore indicated his chamber will likely take a few weeks to consider what supporters call a religious freedom bill. Similar measures in Indiana and Arkansas have caused a nationwide controversy. Opponents point out that it could allow for discrimination of the LGBT and other communities. Governor McCrory says the bill doesn't make sense, but he has not said whether he would veto it. Meanwhile, a bill that would redraw districts for the Wake County Board of Commissioners took another step forward, and the governor signed a bill to lower the gas tax by 3.5 cents over the next year. WUNC Capitol reporter Jeff Tabiri has been following these stories and joins us now from the legislature in Raleigh. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Let's talk about this religious freedom bill, as it's called. How are its supporters describing it?
They frame this as a necessary protection for people with firmly held religious beliefs, and that it is in line with what about 19 or almost 20, 19 other states have on the books. The opponents say that this is not that. This is a broad mandate that, you know, really sets a dangerous precedent, opens the door to potential widespread discrimination of the LGBTQ community and potentially other groups of people. An interesting note, legal experts are saying that these most recent measures in Indiana and Arkansas are quite different than the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which has been federal law. It was enacted 22 years ago. President Clinton signed that into effect. That measure, one of the examples of it, it was designed to protect religious minorities. And one example that I've read that I thought was interesting, American Indians who were in danger of losing their jobs because they were using the illegal drug peyote in religious ceremonies. And the opponents are saying that this is not that. These recent steps, these recent proposals, what's going through in Indiana and Arkansas is very different than what's on than what's been in place for more than two decades.
All right. So these recent measures, Indiana, Arkansas, and let's talk about the one in North Carolina. What does it do?
Essentially, it will give folks, private business owners who have a strongly held religious belief, the ability to not serve somebody, provide service to somebody, deny service based on those religious beliefs. The bill does not explicitly mention gay or lesbian individuals or anybody of any particular group. But the concern from opponents of this is that it is, it's a religious freedoms bill that will allow for discrimination to take place openly and legally under this measure.
All right. So Indiana, Arkansas already in place, up for debate here. Now, House Speaker Tim Moore pulled people together in his office to talk about that bill yesterday, a fairly unusual kind of gathering, I take it. And tell us what happened.
So, there's been national controversy over Indiana and Arkansas's measures. And the governor's there. Arkansas's governor, just in the last half hour, has said he wants the bill amended. That's largely responsive to the public outcry. Well, it seemed as though yesterday, the press secretary for House Speaker Tim Moore came into the press room about 90 seconds before he was going to have this impromptu kind of hastily called press conference in his office. And it seemed like he was attempting to get ahead of this, if you will. So we had less than 2 minutes notice. We went up there and it seemed as though, the three main points were creating some separation between what is happening in Indiana. The importance of the economy and creating jobs as the speaker sees it, and also just making the point that this is not going anywhere anytime soon here in North Carolina.
Let's listen to what he had to say.
My thought is, though, that the high priorities we have right now are about job creation, improving our roads, improving education. I want to find out how this bill accomplishes those objectives. What does it do to move North Carolina's brand forward?
So, number one, it's not on point when you talk about some of the main concerns and priorities facing North Carolina. And two, did he not talk about a fear that the perception of this bill could really jeopardize recruiting for some big corporations? If you want to bring jobs in here, the specter of possibly discriminating against LGBT and other communities doesn't help. Did he talk about that?
He did briefly. The speaker said that, you know, he said, you know, right before you guys came in here, I was on the phone with some CEOs, and, you know, we were talking about this measure. And we said, well, okay, well, who are the CEOs? Are they folks from in the state? And he said, well, it was a mixed bag, some from here and some from other areas, and their responses were mixed. And what he was hearing from them was that, you know, the state needs to be really cautious about with what kind of speed it moves forward with this. He alluded to, I mean, my perception of it was he was alluding to, you know, this could hurt job recruitment. What does this really do for the state as a brand? How does it help the state recruit, whether it's a car manufacturer or whether it's a new tech startup or whatever it is? How exactly is this going to help the state create jobs and move the economy forward? And, you know, he seems skeptical.
Meanwhile, in the Senate, a lot of friends in the Senate for this particular measure, right?
There are. However, I don't think that there certainly isn't overwhelming support in the Senate yet. And, you know, even the leader of the Senate, Phil Berger, seems as though he would much rather be talking about economic issues at this point. Coincidentally, maybe that's not the best word. You know, the first bill that was filed by the Senate this year is a bill that would allow magistrates to opt out of performing same-sex marriage. Now, that was asked to several lawmakers yesterday, and lawmakers are trying to draw a distinction between the Religious Freedom Bill, and that measure, one involving private businesses, the other involving government employees. But there's certainly a connection there, at least from the social perspective.
All right. Well, in other news, the House Elections Committee approved a bill that would set up new districts for commissioners in Wake County. Tell us about that.
So this is a Senate bill. It has been sitting on the House side of the General Assembly for a couple of weeks now. And it seemed all quiet. And then, you know, with about 20 hours notice, the House said, all right, it's going to go to committee. And one of the critiques of some of these redistricting measures, this is not the only one in Wake County. There's also one in Greensboro, also one in Rockingham County. Among the several critiques, one has been that there hasn't been full disclosure. There hasn't, you know, really been a thoughtful, methodical approach to these. And it appears as though this is now getting pushed through on the House side. What this would do, in short, is increase the number of seats in the Wake County Commissioners Board, but it would move the body from an at-large body, seven at-large seats, to nine district seats. And there were about 30 speakers last night. I would estimate two-thirds to three-quarters of them were speaking out against this measure.
We are getting a legislative update today on the state of things. State House reporter Jeff DeBerry is with us. So let's talk about this in favor of this measure that would redistrict these commissioners and essentially restructure the Wake County Commission. Ed Jones, he's the chair of the board of directors of the Wake County Taxpayers Association. Let's listen to what he has to say.
In effect, what we have now is a second city council for the city of Raleigh sitting in the seats of the Wake County Commission. That is not fair.
So what's he talking about, Jeff? This is the argument for restructuring, right?
It is. You know, Wake County has about 1 million people. One of the points I believe he made, some of the other speakers in favor of this measure made yesterday, they said Wake County has more residents than six states in the United States. Four of the seven county commissioners, as it currently stands, are from Raleigh. And, you know, that's more than half. Raleigh makes up slightly less than half the population of Wake County. And they're saying there is too much representation from Raleigh. They're underrepresented and underserved areas elsewhere in the county. And that, you know, that there needs to be more of a balance to it.
Opposition is looking at asking why the state of North Carolina is talking about the affairs of local government. Matt Calabria is one of them. Fuque Varina, he's a former candidate for the Wake County Board of Commissioners, and he is opposed.
No thinking person in this room can imagine this bill coming forward last year when the composition of the county commission was different from what it is now. We also know it's about power because it's not just happening in Wake County. It's happening in county governments and municipal governments and school board governments throughout this state right now. This is part of a larger trend of fabricating division among our people.
And there are other examples of the state legislature getting involved in local affairs. I think that's his reference, right?
There are. Greensboro City Council, a bill to change that body would would change the district, would change the number of seats, would change the kind of power that the mayor has in Greensboro. Another measure that is interesting, and I think it's been a bit under the radar, is in Rockingham County. That proposal would reduce the school board from 11 members to 7 members, 7 seats. And what's interesting there is that in that legislation, it wasn't an amendment or anything. As it was drafted, that approval, that change would only take place if the voters of Rockingham County were to approve a voter referendum. That is almost certainly not going to happen in Wake County or Greensboro. There have been calls for that. Several people said yesterday, if this is about increased exposure, if this is about giving the people a voice, giving the people that live in the more rural counts of rural parts of Wake County a voice and the ability to have better representation, well, why not put this on the ballot and let almost the million people, obviously they won't all vote, but let the people of Wake County decide. So.
All right, got about a minute left, Jeff, but I want to talk about the gas tax. It falls slightly starting today, and the plan will be for a new formula in place for the gas tax by 2017. What's going on?
So at midnight this morning, gas tax dropped from 37.5 cents per gallon to 36 cents per gallon. You and others probably didn't notice as you headed into work today. What this does is keep the gas tax from dropping as low as it otherwise might have, and that will ensure that revenues for the Department of Transportation don't drop too far. Supporters say it stabilizes that revenue and will allow for road projects. Opponents say it's ultimately a tax increase for the middle class, and you know this is just maybe a Band-Aid on a bigger cut or a bigger wound, and that other things will have to take place moving forward to, you know, provide the money for projects, Department of Transportation projects across the state. If you were wondering, even with the tax, North Carolina's gas tax is still about twice that of South Carolina, significantly higher than Virginia and Tennessee.
All right. And interestingly enough, tied to the wholesale price, which means it's highly volatile right now, and this new formula at least would stabilize that. Jeff, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Frank.
Jeff DeBerry, Capital Reporter for WUNC. Just ahead, a group of John Hope Franklin scholars put a new spin on a graphic novel and the life of John Hope Franklin. You'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.